piano for?
Oh, boy. I started when I was about 5, so that would make it close to, I'm 59 now, so do the math.
Yeah.
56 years.
Are you a Montrealer?
Not originally, but I've been here since 1986.
Did you come here for music?
Pretty much, yeah. I went to McGill for a year and then, you know, sort of bummed around, did, you know, dumb jobs and managed to get some pretty high-level work working with Les Mis and Phantom of the Opera, so I did that stuff. And then slowly, you know, developed the jazz improvisation stuff.
But you still, you like to play the street pianos.
It's fun to play the street pianos because it's something unexpected for, you know, passers-by. You know, and I know I'm pretty good at it these days, you know, so...
you got some chops.
I got some chops, you know, so I think it's a rare thing, you know, sometimes people are like, my God, what, you know, what record is playing right now? And then they turn the corner and they see an actual person playing a piano. And
it's kind of disarming.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what did I just see, you know?
But it kind of goes along with the whole, you know, the Montreal street scene, let's call it, which this town has a real vibe for that, you know, always has.
Yeah, that's it. There's never been a shortage of you know, metro musicians here, street performers, and, you know, and the public pianos have actually been a great place for unlikely people to show up and play them. You know, like one night, I remember there was one at the corner of Rochelle and Saint Laurent, and one night it was dark, and it was still open, so I was bashing away at the piano, having fun, and then out of the darkness comes Patrick Watson, you know, and then we just, you know, we start playing duets together, and he's singing, and, you know, this crowd gathers, and they were like, oh, my God, you know, it was just out of nowhere, and, you know, there's other stories like that as well of, you know, great players just sitting down and mesmerizing people.
So what did you think of that?
No, it's not my cup of coffee.
Ah! Okay.
Hi there. You just heard Canada Land, the show where I'm typically joined by a different guest each week for a long feature interview. What you're going to hear next is Canada Land Shortcuts, a topical news show where I'm joined by a different co-host each week, and we talk about the media's coverage of various stories in the news right now. Wait for it. I'm Jesse Brown, and today we're talking about the news. But first, we're going to break some news. A journalist who you have heard on Canada Land a bunch of times was accused yesterday by a former member of parliament of being a paid KGB agent since the 1980s.
His codename in these KGB files was Stewart. His recruiter, handler, and paymaster over the period discussed here from 1982 to 1990 was another agent, codenamed Ivan.
And this individual, Stewart, as codename, is currently working still as a journalist?
Correct. You will see in the documents that he is named there very, very clearly in cursive handwriting as David Pugliese, who has been working as a journalist in Canada for, you know, ever since.
So I got David Pugliese on the phone to ask him if he is or was a Russian agent. Wait for that. This episode is brought to you by CAMH, the Center for Addiction and Mental Health. They believe that everyone deserves better mental health care. That's just true, right? Everybody deserves better mental health care, and CAMH are doing crucial, important work. October 6th to 12th is Mental Illness Awareness Week, and October 10th is World Mental Health Day. CAMH is building better mental health care for everyone. Visit camh.ca/CanadaLand to ensure that no one is left behind. This episode is brought to you by Douglas. You may be familiar with Douglas, the noun, meaning an exceptionally comfortable mattress. But are you familiar with the verb, to Douglas? This is the process by which you upgrade your sleep at an affordable price while also getting a bunch of extras added on top. So I'll use it in a sentence. It's time to Douglas. Douglas is giving our listeners a free sleep bundle with each mattress purchase. Get the sheets, pillows, mattress, and pillow protectors free with your Douglas purchase today. Visit douglas.ca/CanadaLand to claim this offer. That's douglas.ca/CanadaLand. Okay, we have a crackling episode of media criticism for you with Jan Wong, and we'll bring you that. But after we recorded that, something absolutely wild happened yesterday to David Pugliese, the longtime Ottawa Citizen reporter who covers defense and who was on this show just a few weeks ago talking with Noor about Canada's underfunded military. So yesterday, David Pugliese was accused of being a longtime KGB agent. This was not some random anonymous accusation made on Twitter. This happened in the House of Commons in a parliamentary committee, the Foreign Interference Commission of the Standing Committee on Public Safety and National Security. And his accuser was former Conservative MP Chris Alexander. Alexander was Stephen Harper's immigration minister, and he is now a fellow at the right-wing MacDonald Laurier Institute. First, we are just going to play you most of what Chris Alexander alleged in his testimony and some questions that he answered from parliamentarians. So here it is, most of what he said. We gave this a light edit to focus on the parts about David Pugliese.
Seven documents tabled before you originate in the pre-1991 archives of the Ukrainian KGB. And I'm on to the second issue, which relates to a current matter. They are in the hands of Canadian national security officials because they are evidence of a serious effort to undermine Canada's national security and collective self-defense. They've also been authenticated by several of the world's leading experts on KGB documents. In a nutshell, these records document a KGB operation to talent spot, recruit, develop, and run as an agent a Canadian citizen who's been a prominent journalist in this country for over three decades. His code name in these KGB files was Stewart. His recruiter, handler, and paymaster over the period discussed here from 1982 to 1990 was another agent, codenamed Ivan. If Stewart continued as an agent after 1990, as there's now every reason to believe he did, we have no access to those files because they're in Moscow. These documents illustrate the challenge our democracies face. For decades, Moscow has been recruiting and paying policymakers, influencers, politicians, journalists, and others to act as their proxies, to undermine trust in our institutions, to dissipate our political will. Even at the height of so-called glasnost, this journalist has been prolific, publishing as many as 100 or 200 articles per year in Canada and the U.S. since 1990. His recent subjects are instructive. Countless stories about Ukraine's Nazi links, or Nazis in Canada, defamatory pieces about the family of Deputy Prime Minister Chrystia Freeland, provocative takes on procurement and other issues at the Department of National Defense and in the Canadian Forces. In short, these are themes that Moscow would be delighted to promote. They also aim to weaken Canadian support for Ukraine. Previous efforts to expose this journalist's long-running covert ties to Moscow have resulted in attempts to intimidate current and former Canadian parliamentarians, including my former colleague James Bazin, as well as Canadian Army officers. Canadians need and deserve quality, independent journalism now more than ever. We need to bolster our national security and defense and to back Ukraine's victory fully. Moscow's information war, its active measures, and continuing espionage are a serious hindrance to all of this. In 1945, the Guzenko revelations resulted in a royal commission that turned Canada into one of the Cold War's most reliable allies. I call upon you, the Foreign Interference Commission, our governments, intelligence, security, and law enforcement agencies at all levels to work together to end the impunity with which Russia has operated in Canada. We need to acknowledge, assess, and attribute active measures, disinformation, influence operations, and other malign activities that originate in Moscow and act to disrupt and prevent such activities and hold the perpetrators to account.
These documents that you've dropped on the table today are quite disturbing. Have you been able to get that authenticized as being true to fact?
Yes.
And this individual, Stewart, as his code name, is currently working still as a journalist?
Correct. You will see in the documents that he is named there very, very clearly in cursive handwriting as David Pugliese, who has been working as a journalist in Canada for, you know, ever since.
So that reporter is very familiar to me as because he reports also on national defense. Is that why KGB would have been interested in making use of him to collect information to share with the Kremlin, in addition to using his cover as a journalist to do so? Would he have been duping CAF members and the Department of National Defense and others?
Absolutely. His subsequent career, I'm not sure how many years of it, I haven't analyzed it completely, did focus for quite a long time on national defense, national security issues. At the time when he is recruited, which is what these files tell us the story of, it's not clear what he's going to do as a journalist. He's starting out. He is, I think the Ottawa Citizen is mentioned, as a first employer. I'm not sure what he was working on at that time, but later the one of his main areas of focus was national security, national defense, as you say.
Okay, I think that we'll need some time to digest the information that's in here. You said it's been handed over some time ago to Canadian intelligence agencies. Which intelligence agencies would have received this intel?
From what I know, it was given to counterintelligence authorities and law enforcement authorities within the Department of National Defense, as well as CSIS.
Okay, there you have it. I have never heard anything like it. And as soon as I could, after hearing that, I called David Pugliese up, thinking that the phone call was mostly a formality. I thought it would be unlikely to get any kind of response at all. But no, David took my call and gave me an on-the-record interview. And here it is. Hi, David.
Hi, Jesse. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Well, I've had better days. So, it's been quite an interesting day with the false allegations being made in the Commons Committee.
Okay, let's get that out of the way. You're not a KGB agent?
I am not a KGB agent. I haven't been a deep cover KGB agent ever. I've never accepted any money from the Russians or anybody but my employer, of course. It's total fabrication.
So what the heck is going on?
Well, there's a couple of things at play. Some of this is related to a couple of, charities that I wrote about that some Ukrainians had raised concerns that were not providing, you know, proper equipment and that type of thing.
Those stories, this is public stuff. This was published in the Ottawa Citizen?
Yeah, it's public stuff. Published in the Ottawa Citizen, there was four or five stories. They resulted in disciplinary action against some Canadian Forces members.
I'm aware of these stories. This is Maria Aid and Mariah Report. These are charities that you reported. Canadian Armed Forces were involved in this charity getting armaments to Ukraine, and there was some alleged fraud going on. The stuff was no good. That's what was alleged in these stories that you ran.
There's the Ukrainians have expressed, these concerns. And you can read about those on the Ottawa Citizen website. They're all there. But the other related issue is, people have been putting out some of the same people associated with this have claimed that I play hockey for the Russian Embassy hockey team. Well, I'm in Victoria, British Columbia. I've never played hockey. I can barely skate. I'm a 67-year-old guy who can barely skate. So, but this is the new norm on how you come at journalists these days. If you can't show, an article is inaccurate, you try to smear people. And the Russian disinformation angle is seems to be a flavor of the month.
And you're saying that former Immigration Minister Chris Alexander was duped by this smear campaign against you, a smear campaign that was, retribution for some reporting that you did.
I don't know what goes through Chris Alexander's brain. I watched the testimony, and I'd say this, it was false, completely false. I don't know what more to say about Chris Alexander.
You have a history with the guy?
I did cover Chris Alexander when he was in charge of the F-35 file, and some of the coverage was not, he didn't take kindly to it. There were some allegations when he was in Afghanistan that I looked into. So, yes, I have covered Chris Alexander.
What do you make of him coming at you with these allegations in a parliamentary committee where I think he's protected by parliamentary privilege? Like, you can't sue him for that, can you?
I don't know. I've been talking to some lawyers, and we might see if that's true or not. So it was very convenient. I'm going to ask the committee if I can appear. I hope they allow me to appear. Essentially, they've called me a traitor to the country. Well, what's my crime? Journalism? I mean, I get that. I piss off a lot of people with my articles. My articles take a look at corruption. They take a look at sexual assault in the Canadian Forces. They take a look at, some of the money that disappears, on these big procurement projects. So I understand that, you know, not everyone appreciates my style of journalism.
And that's what this is. You were never codenamed Stuart, answering to a handler codenamed Ivan.
It's total fabrication. I mean, think of it, right? Codenamed Stuart. Why not codename Ivan or Dr. Zhivago or something? It's just ridiculous.
What about this part? Previous efforts to expose this journalist's long-running covert ties to Moscow have resulted in attempts to intimidate current and former Canadian parliamentarians, including my former colleague James Bazan, as well as Canadian Army officers. There's another allegation there.
I don't know what he's talking about. I mean, I don't have a lot of dealings with Mr. Bazan. I've never threatened him or anything like that. I have exposed or written a lot about Canadian Army officers and some of the questionable activities that they've been up to. I've got two stories this week in the Ottawa Citizen about a woman who was sexually assaulted. You know, she's in the Canadian Forces worker, sexually assaulted while in Latvia. Yeah, I don't know what he's babbling about, what he's talking about. This is the new way to go after journalists. So I'll give you an example. General Wayne Eyre, Chief of Defense Staff, when he was, in his final speech, he essentially said that Canadian Forces members who have been, asking questions or questioning the chain of command, questioning the new Chief of Defense Staff, Jenny Carignan, they were helping Putin. And so it becomes this broad brush that if you ask questions and you're in the military, oh, you're helping Putin. You must be working for the Russians. So he's saying this about military veterans and serving personnel. And so what you're seeing this is kind of migrating towards journalists as well.
I mean, you seem really nonchalant. I would be hitting bricks right now. This is, it seems like serious stuff. He says he's handed over the documents to the authorities and that you're a threat to our democracy.
I mean, he says, I think one of the parliamentarians suggested I be deported or something. I mean, it's kind of like the McCarthy days from the 1950s. I don't know. What do you say? What do you say to people who say that you skate on the embassy hockey team? How do you kind of come at that except to say it's just ridiculous? It's stupid. I'm proud of the journalism that I've done for the last 40 years. I stand by that. I've won a lot of awards. I've created a lot of problems for people. So to me, when I hear this, it's a reflection of the effectiveness of my journalism. I noticed, for instance, he mentioned a military procurement, that I write about military procurement and some of the problems, as if that's a bad thing. Like, taxpayers deserve to know when these billion-dollar programs go off. So claiming that this is the Russians are directing me to report on this, it's just ridiculous.
I mean, he wasn't saying that reporting on procurement is wrong. He was saying that you are trying to divide Canadians against each other with your Kremlin-backed, KGB-backed stories that are meant to foment hatred and division. And he directly accused you of using your fraudulent position as a defense journalist to gain access to information that he came out and alleged you were feeding back to the Kremlin. And when challenged as to like whether these documents were real or not, he said he's shown them to the greatest experts in the world who went to the level of verifying the paper quality of it. Well, what are we to make of that? He seems quite confident.
Yeah. Well, first of all, a couple of things, right? So the documents say I was, like I said, right, come back and I was recruited in 1984. I was a permanent resident of Ottawa. It's bullshit. I didn't even live in Ottawa. It's fascinating to see all these records in Russian, but there's my name in English. So what, does the KGB need to write in English now? This is, a divide Canadians. You know what? I'm going to keep reporting on procurement. I'm going to keep reporting on rape in the Canadian Forces. I'm going to keep reporting on criminality. And he can say this stuff, but it's not going to stop me. One of the other things that he was upset about is I do a lot of stories about the Holocaust and Nazi war criminals in Canada. I have written a couple of stories about Krista Freeland's grandfather, who was a Nazi propagandist. And this seems to be very upsetting to Mr. Bazan, the conservative member, and Mr. Chris Alexander.
I mean, I know Chrystia Freeland was unhappy about that, and they did their own kind of press ops with that, trying to, we were told, oh, don't believe this, this is all misinformation. Turned out to be true.
Yes, it turned out to be true. I mean, you can go to, I've worked with the Holocaust museums in Washington and Los Angeles. The newspapers that the grandfather edited with virulent anti-Semitic articles are there. With his name, so, but this is another part of it as well, right? So I think I've really ticked off a lot of people in official Ottawa with whether it's my reporting on the Nazi war criminals, whether it's my reporting on the Victims of Communism Memorial that they're putting up there, which is full of alleged Nazi collaborator names, whether it's my procurement stories on military procurement, whether wasting or allegedly wasting billions of dollars. This is your money, right? And so, yeah, I'm doing my job as a journalist.
Do you think that Chris Alexander believes that you're a KGB agent?
I don't know what that guy believes. I don't know what he believes. You should ask him. You know, it would be interesting if he repeats these allegations to you on record, right, where he doesn't have parliamentary privilege.
That would be interesting. I guess I'm going to go see if he's... do you have his number? You'll save me some time.
No, I don't have his number, but give him a call. It would be, that would be fascinating to see. And the other thing is, it's interesting because he said he didn't know where the record, he got the records from Ukraine, but he isn't the one who got the original records. They're being given to him. So
hold on. Tell me more about that.
I don't know where they're coming from, but,
well, you seem confident that they were given to him. Like he was saying, oh, this is available to us because it's part of the Ukrainian KGB archive. It only goes up to 1990. He seemed to know his stuff, but you seem to be suggesting that he didn't get them from the archive himself.
I don't know where he got them from, but I know that they're incorrect. I know that my name, my code name isn't Stuart. I know that I'm not a KGB agent, and I know that I wasn't in Ottawa, living in Ottawa at the time I supposedly got recruited.
If you are a KGB agent, I'm sorry that your code name is Stuart. I would hope.
I know. Well, that's
code name.
That's the stupidity of this, right? Like what? And it's like it's kind of like my life is pretty dull. I'm surrounded by papers. I'm surrounded by documents. I live a mediocre life here in my little home office. But you listen to Chris Alexander, and I'm the Russian version of James Bond or something.
Well, listen, these are two people of prominence with established reputations in the Canadian discourse about politics and news, leveling very serious allegations against each other. I've never seen anything like this in my life. I guess it's becoming a little bit more common. The Prime Minister was calling Jordan Peterson a Russian-funded stooge the other week, and maybe this is the new normal. But
Let me tell you something, Jesse. So, for instance, the charity that I wrote about that is associated with some of this, like last year 2022, they tweeted out one of their board of directors tweeted out that Mercedes Stevenson at the Globe and Mail, myself, Steve Chase, Bob Feiss, and Vasily Kapalis, I'm probably not pronouncing your name correctly, were all paid Russian agents.
Who put this out?
An individual who was on the board of directors with Maria Aid. They just tweeted that out. I can, I'll send you that if you'd like. It's like, okay, this is the new norm. You can say anything about anybody.
Thank you for talking with me, and you seem cool as a cucumber for what you're going through. I know that can't be your favorite thing to be the story. For decades you've been reporting stories.
Like I said, I'm proud of my journalism, and I'm going to keep doing it. And so this just shows to me that I've pissed somebody off, right? The only downside of this is the safety of my family, and I think the parliamentary committee was reckless in allowing this to be transmitted.
That's not an insignificant concern. You know, this is out there. Everyone's...
Exactly, right? So what happens if someone takes a shot at me or the kids or something, right? Like, yeah. And that's my main concern, so...
Well, I'm not sure where you can defend yourself, but on podcasts or hopefully at committee. So I would hope that they would hear from you as well. David, thank you again. It's always good talking to you. It's always pretty damn interesting.
Great. Thanks, Jesse. Great to be on your show.
So I did reach out to Chris Alexander to see if he would be willing to make those same allegations here on this podcast where he would not be protected by parliamentary privilege. He did not immediately respond. The Canadian Association of Journalists released a statement about all of this last night. They said that they, quote, wholeheartedly denounce the ridiculous accusations made against David Pugliese. It's a sad irony. These comments were made in a meeting examining disinformation campaigns. These claims are dangerous and designed to undermine the credibility of journalists, period. End quote. So we will be following this wherever it goes. That's our show for today. I can be emailed at jesse@canadaland.com. I read everything you send. This episode is produced by James Nicholson with additional production by Caleb Thompson. Our production manager is Max Collins, who also did the fact-checking for this episode. I'm Jesse Brown, editor and publisher of Canada Land. Our theme music is by So Called. Our syndication is by CFUV 101.9 FM in Victoria. You can visit them online at cfuv.ca.
Supporting our annual fundraising campaign. From the bottom of our musical hearts, thank you for sitting pretty as one of radio's best friends.